Sports.
Monday on the Horn, B&E with you, show the people, recapping the weekend with the good, the bad, and the ugly, looking forward to a potentially historic week on the 40 acres with the expectation of the official move or the beginnings of the official move of Texas to the Southeastern Conference, or at least the efforts to get there, beginning possibly today. We'll get you details. Also, as we were talking about on the end of the hour, the situation in Houston with the Texans, Deshaun Watson is in Houston camp. He did show up yesterday for testing, which will begin entry into camp as the Texans begin practice this week. So that story is out there. And now a report from NFL.com, Buck, that the Texans are listening to trade offers for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, they don't need to see him play, right? What is it
I think at their core, the Texans would still like to see Deshaun Watson play quarterback for them. He's a top five quarterback in this league potentially over the next 10 years, and you don't typically trade those players. But
it's not
the
trade. He's not going to play for you. But he will hold in. He will say no.
Correct.
Although he needed that $50,000. You know, he needed that $50,000 a day.
Well, and that becomes what we don't know from Deshaun Watson with 22 civil complaints against him.
It's a lot of 50s.
What leverage does he actually have? Because if the Texans are going to listen to offers, those teams want some resolution to these civil cases.
Right.
And to know that he's going to be able to play. They're going to trade them. The Texans are reportedly asking for 3 first-round draft picks to start for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, if this doesn't really go to court until 2022, that's a long wait for a team. But would you wait for a franchise quarterback that long?
Yeah, that's...
You know, I mean, but it... I don't know. Like I said, but it doesn't make him all of a sudden this model citizen. He's just a freak, some of this stuff, if it comes out. You know what I mean? You can wait it out. You can see. You can wait to 2023. But that is getting down at the long path right there, E. That if it comes out that way.
The timeline is not in Houston's favor.
No.
We know that. But at the same time, I mean, at this point, Deshaun Watson is still we should all be innocent until proven guilty. I mean,
correct.
He's that. So he's showing up to camp. He's letting his lawyers handle his legal business. The NFL has not put him in timeout, essentially put him on paid leave. That's not happened. So the Texans now have to deal with that situation. And, you know, would someone offer them close to what they're asking for or what Deshaun Watson would demand on a trade situation? Reports that the Broncos, the Dolphins, and the Eagles would be the most.
But they're not going to do that without knowing either, are they? They're not
correct.
Just going to do that.
Well, and that's
right?
That's why I say the silence from the NFL is very interesting to me. Because typically, you know, we're used to the NFL being pretty aggressive on these things. That if there's, you know, protect the shield, protect the brand, suspend him. And we know they've been doing their own investigation behind the scenes on this
for sure.
So does the fact that they have not suspended him and put him on the exempt list of the commissioner, does that mean anything? Does that mean that they have not been able to uncover much in their own investigation in this case? I don't know. And there's just so much more unknown than is known in the Deshaun Watson case. What we do know on a Monday morning is he's shown up for camp. He's planning to be there. And
I mean, does he walk right into the first huddle? I mean, he is the guy, but does he walk into the first huddle?
I mean, I think if you're the coach, you coach him like he's your quarterback until you're told not to. You get everybody ready. It's training camp. I mean, you can't not play him.
I know. I guess. Yeah, I guess you
based
put him
on what? I mean, he's going to say, look, I'm innocent until proven guilty. These are all false allegations against me. I'm here to play quarterback, or you guys can trade me. That's not, you know, it's an awkward situation without a doubt.
I mean, you can trade, but is he tradable? Is he allowed? Yeah, is he allowed to go?
Well,
like you said, the NFL hadn't said enough. They haven't told you enough that the minute somebody says we're going to trade him, the NFL steps in and goes, wait a minute, nope. He's going to be, they're just taking their time too, which is bizarre.
And that's, again, the
unknowns. Or they don't know enough, like you said. It's just they don't. Maybe they don't have enough information gathered. You're right.
That's where we stand on this opening of the final week of the month of July with the Texans going to camp. Cowboys have been in camp for a week now as they get ready for that Hall of Fame game in a couple of weeks in Canton, Ohio. Hey, let's get to your headlines, trending topics outside of that, and then we'll get back to our coach's corner here as well, including what's coming for Texas. But let's get to the news. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and start with the seismic changes coming for the Big 12 and certainly from the 40 acres. It appears that the reports of last week and this weekend will become reality as soon as today Texas and Oklahoma are expected to formally notify the Big 12 Conference that they will not be renewing their grant of rights agreement with the conference when those rights expire at the end of the 2024-2025 school year. The official notification is the first step for the two schools then begin being considered for admission to the Southeastern Conference. That step has to be made before the second can happen. The move will come following the Big 12 Executive Committee meeting that was held yesterday. That included Texas President Jay Hartzell and Oklahoma President Joe Haraz. Multiple reports indicate that the meeting was cordial, but did not alter either school's plans. In a statement released following yesterday's meeting, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby said in part, quote, "I expect we will continue our conversations in the days ahead, and we look forward to discussing those ideas and concepts that may be shared of shared interest and impact." We'll certainly stay tuned on that story. The Tokyo Olympics, United States official medal count stands at 14. 7 gold medals over the first weekend of competition. Bit of a surprise where U.S. swimmer Katie Ledecky settled for silver in the women's 400-meter freestyle last night. U.S. men's basketball saw their 25-game Olympic winning streak snapped. They fell to France in pool play, 83-76. Speaking of hoops, how about Luka Doncic in his Olympic debut? The Dallas Mavericks star dropped 48 points, tied for the second most in a single Olympic game in history. The Slovenians defeated Argentina 118-100. Baseball yesterday, Astros completed a 3-game sweep of the Texas Rangers with a 3-1 win at Minute Maid Park. With the sweep, the Astros improved to a season-best 22 games over .500. They're 5.5 up on the A's in the American League West. Rangers have lost 12 in a row. Also a trade yesterday in Major League Baseball, the Padres, San Diego, has acquired Pirates all-star second baseman Adam Frazier for 3 minor leaguers. Frazier leads all of baseball in hits this year. 29-year-old, not a free agent either. That's a great acquisition for the Padres. MLB's trade deadline is this Saturday.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Say to the guys that just are getting ready to show up to the Olympics from Milwaukee, a couple guys, and also, the kid from the Suns. If he shows up, does that
they're there.
Help a bit?
Yeah, they are there. They played yesterday.
They are there.
Did they get there yesterday?
Drew Holiday, with champagne still on his breath probably, played 28 minutes, clocked in the most minutes for any USA player. Pop was playing them like he didn't just play in game six of the NBA Finals.
Well, he just did. I mean, he's the one that's still kind of fresh and ready to go. Those are the guys, right?
I don't know about fresh, but he's basketball ready.
Yeah.
That makes sense. He's the most basketball ready, him, Chris Middleton, and Devin Booker. But
right.
Yeah, they did not look good. They were getting killed on the boards. You know, Dame, KD, and Jason Tatum all struggled. It was an interesting game. And Evan Fournier for France, he looked like 0-4 Manu Ginobili, just completely dominated. Again, they got out hustled. They don't look like they want to be there in a way. They can't adjust to the officiating because they call it a little looser there, you know, the NBA.
You mean you actually get to be hacked?
Yeah.
Without a foul call.
Exactly. You can hand check a little bit. 76 points for Team USA yesterday.
Yeah, that court is real small, so they're all standing on top of each other. Supposedly, rumors have it that they don't like the Pop San Antonio offense. So, yeah, they're in trouble.
And they don't like the Band-Aid on the ball. The big Band-Aids wrapped around that son of a gun.
It's a ball. It's round.
It looks awful.
Yeah, well, here we go. So now they also have Iran and the Czech Republic, I believe, in their pool. If they win those games, they'll get to the medal round. But the loss yesterday, a sign of trouble for Team USA for sure. And Luka Doncic was amazing, part of the good of the weekend. Coach's Corner brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. What a week it should be, Buck. I know you spent Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week, or at least Thursday and Friday, discussing this topic of the Big 12 and Texas and Oklahoma's and their move to the SEC. But as we said last hour and we'll say throughout the morning, today is really when the process begins. Where does it go? I mean, what can be the timeline? I mean, it's such a massive story. It's, you know, you and I covered the last round of realignment with this show 10 years ago. When it looked for all the world like Texas was going to be off to the Pac-12 with a group from the Big 12 and moving forward. But obviously we know where that played out. And, you know, Texas re-upped with the Big 10 or the Big 12 on a 10-team league. And now here we are 10 years later, and here we go.
Well, they're for sure leaving because the first meeting they had last week was one of those 5 o'clock, let's all get together. Texas didn't show, and neither did Oklahoma. And that was my indication, this thing is done.
Sure.
And then, of course, they showed up just out of a courtesy on this last one and listened to what Bob Bowlsby had to say and what the other schools are trying to offer you and beg of you to stay because this throws these other schools in the Big 12 it's just shock. It's a shock to their programs. It's a shock to Texas Tech and Kansas, K-State. Some would say, who cares? I mean, that. I just think for the group that you spend so much time with, you should care, but you don't really have to, because handshakes, and like I said, handshakes and signed contracts, what are they meant to be except for broken? I mean, they don't mean very much. And, yeah, we're not going to do this to you. We wouldn't do this to you, but we've run the conference since it began, Texas and Oklahoma. So the things that you think you're offering to us, we could have got those anyway. We didn't need you to offer us to stay and say, here, we're going to give you more money, or here, we're going to do this for you, or you're going to be the main say. Well, we've been the main say since we joined. So this is all about going to the big dogs. Will you have that kind of pull once you get to there? Where will you be? Where will you stand when you go to the SEC? You're always going to be Texas. You're always going to be almost similar to what Notre Dame is. Your brand is huge. It's tremendous. Now, the kind of football, the kind of sports that you play in the SEC, you'll catch up to them eventually, you hope, because you don't want to go to the SEC and lose a bunch of games and be number 7 in the conference. You're damn near barely number 3 in this one. So, but that's not the point. The point is the money that you can make and the kind of financial situation you put your whole athletic program in for the next 30 years. That's what it is.
Correct. All that is correct. I mean, but it's such a... For Texas, it's a cultural shift. I mean, it's a shift of leadership. I think we have to understand that. And I think when you look, you know, read the tea leaves through the Big 12, you know, Jay Hartzell's a new president. I mean, Jay Hartzell's been on the job for a year, right? He took over for Greg Fenves. Greg Fenves took off summer of last year for Atlanta.
And he was just getting to know athletics.
Well, right, and he was not. And look, I don't think this move gets made if Greg Fenves is still the president of the University of Texas.
Probably not.
What I will say, you know, from my conversations with folks and reading through this, where there are, I mean, this is an aggressive move by Texas that is surprised, taking a lot of people by surprise, that they're going this direction to the SEC. Even people at the university that for a long time thought that the SEC was not a fit for the University of Texas. But Jay Hartzell, again, just a year on the job. Kevin Elteif is the head of the Board of Regents. These two have, along with Chris Del Conte, have been extremely aggressive in the last year. We know they've made a change at football head coach, basketball head coach. They're building a brand new arena for basketball that, you know, how about businessmen making a good business deal? I mean, it's pretty shrewd to have a basketball arena that is being built for you without you spending any of your own money on it for you to play basketball in moving forward. It's going to be state of the art, and we know that story. But it just speaks to the change in leadership at Texas, Buck, and at least the change in belief of where Texas fits best.
Where they fit best economically.
Economically. Because remember, for folks who don't know, Jay Hartzell, the president, is an economist. I mean, that's by trade, he's an economist. And he was the dean of the McCombs School of Business before he was the president of this university. Business is his, you know, economics and business is what he does. And this is a business move for Texas, without a doubt. Because, yes, they've done fine the last decade in the Big 12 financially.
And you claim that you never would – there's no chance we'd ever join the SEC. It's just not a cultural fit.
When you say they, I think it wasn't for DeLoss Dodds and Bill Powers and the previous leadership at Texas. They didn't see it as a good fit for Texas.
That was a long – and that's right. Been a long time.
Correct. But this current leadership believes it is, and it's – I think economically, I think here's where you have to be admire the aggressiveness is the forward thinking that they're putting forward. Look, they're understanding, an economist understands what the market's going to look like 5, 10, 15 years from now. That's how you have to see things. You can't look at, okay, well, look where we are now. Look how much money we made last year in the Big 12. Well, what is that going to look like 5 years from now? What is that going to look like 10 years from now?
Well, it can never look any bigger than what they make in the SEC.
Correct. So, and with the onset of name, image, and likeness, with the SEC beginning to take control of recruiting potentially in the state of Texas, certainly in football, where is our best seat at the table in the big picture? And clearly, Jay Hartzell and Kevin Elteif and the president of Oklahoma have had conversations with ESPN and their television partners to get a read of the room there. Of what the new deals are going to look like, the next wave of television contracts, what that looks like. And obviously them being aggressive on this move indicates they kind of see where this goes. And to your point about the rest of the conference, I would just say that I don't think if you're paying attention that you can be shocked by this. You can be surprised by Texas, but you and I have had this conversation openly that the Big 12 is a dying conference. The Big 12 will not survive beyond
this. If you didn't bring in the kind of teams that you needed to bring in and you thought just 10 of you were going to get it done.
And I never felt like there were two or three or four teams
to go get. Well, the Cincinnati's or Boise's and teams like that.
You know, BYU, Cincinnati, Memphis, Houston, you know, as far as conference expansion, those weren't going to save your conference. Those teams were not going to save the big picture. When you'd be in the same place you are, you'd just be sharing it beyond more teams. But obviously the shifting landscape and what the SEC's aggressive move is trying to do is pretty much monopolize college football. And you get all the best. There's also a report over the weekend, Buck, that the SEC is also, this is from the Guardian.com, that the SEC is targeting Ohio State, Clemson, Michigan, and Florida State for expansion and try to get to a 20 or 24-team super conference, which, you know, you and I have talked about super conferences in the past. Look, the reason this is all firing back up is that they're beginning the next round of TV and broadcast rights deals.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Texas and theirs runs through 2024-25, but the negotiations have already begun, and the conversations have already begun. So when you, it's not just one singular reason, but it starts with a businessman in charge of the university right now. I mean, you would argue that in the past, the president has been more an academic, more on the, not that the Jay Hartzell's not, but at his core, Jay Hartzell is an economist. Jay Hartzell's a businessman.
Yeah,
so what's
that
the best
dude can sit down at the table with, it doesn't matter. He's not worrying about who he's sitting down and holding hands with right now.
And his job as the president of the University of Texas is to put Texas in the best financial position long-term, correct? And I think that's reading the room. That's where they believe the Big 12 is not going to exist in its current state beyond these next deals. If Texas is in it and part of the Big 12, you know, after 2025, they're going to be at a disadvantaged position compared to the teams in the SEC and the premier conferences of college football, the Big Ten and the SEC. So what are your choices? You know, continue to try to keep the Big 12 afloat and be a part of a non-premium conference, a premium brand in a non-premium league, or is now the time to move into a premium
league? So do you think there's only one premium league, and that's the SEC,
No,
period?
I think the Big Ten is, too.
What about the ACC with Clemson, Clemson, Carolina.
I mean, it's a really good conference. I think it's better than the Big 12, but not by a lot. I mean, I think, and when I say premier, right, or premium conference, I'm talking about what TV networks will pay.
You're talking about money. You're not even talking about Alabama. You're not talking about games or football
games.
No, I'm
talking about the money of it.
Right.
Because what's going to pay the freight, right? I mean, and what that's where this is about. This is about TV money. This is about TV deals and rights, broadcasting rights. Right now, the premium conferences are the Big Ten and the SEC. And
is the president willing to not be to wait like Texas A&M has had to wait to get to where they are? Are fans willing to wait 4, 5, 6 years?
On the fields of play?
Oh, that counts too, doesn't it? Isn't that a part of what you're doing?
Sure. But at its base, this is a business deal. And the athletic side of it will be...
Doesn't matter?
Well, sure it does. In big picture, but you got to get the deal done. The first thing you got to do is send your letter today to the Big 12 and say, hey, guys, we're not planning to be a part of this beyond 2025. You know, the next obvious question then is, how long do you stay?
Yeah.
And look, I think if you're Texas, you would like to be in the new conference by next year. You don't want to play two lame duck seasons in the Big 12 because this year is going to be awkward enough.
What if you need two lame duck seasons in the Big 12 to get your brand new coach all set to go? Play because the football program is still, we're talking about the big dog.
Understood.
You and I aren't talking about volleyball here. We're not talking about the swim team who's won national championships. We're not talking about how they'll do in the SEC. We're not even worried about the basketball team going to the SEC. We're talking about football, basically.
Understood. And look, that's yet to be seen. But at the same time, as far as the president's concerned and the head of the Board of Regents,
There first and worry about that later.
We got it. Well, because you're going to get into that conference as these new TV deals are cut, so you get part of that cut. You want in on that deal. You want to be in the conference for that.
You're getting in there. You're going.
Yes.
You're going.
And look, I mean, I think Jay Hartzell would argue that, you know, they just won the Sears Cup. The athletic department is competing at a pretty high level.
Probably the best time to go.
In all sports, we've got the right coaches in place at the right time. We've got the new stadium and the south end zone coming online. Now's the time. If we're going, now is the time. You know, to your point or question, are they going to take some lumps in the SEC? Possibly, for sure. I mean, it's a step up in class. I mean, you're stepping up. I mean, think about this when I talk about dying conference in the Big 12. If you want to leave it in dollars and cents, it is. But at the same time, if you look at in the, just the sport of football.
Yes.
Recruiting rankings. NFL draft picks in the last 5 years. It's dominated by the Southeastern Conference in both levels. Who gets the best players from high school? Currently, it's the SEC. Who's putting more of those players into the National Football League? By a huge number and margin, it's the Southeastern Conference. And the Big 12 is way behind in that regard, including Texas. So, yes, this would be a jump start for Texas to step it up? Without a doubt.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
That's why now, I said give me 2 years.
I think if you're Jay Hartzell,
if it rolls that way, I'm not disappointed if it goes. I'm not saying don't do it or I hope it doesn't. I'm fine if it doesn't happen for 2 years. You're saying you think it's just hanging around.
Look, there's legalities and contracts that have to be handled.
Right.
And that's why I say today is such an historic day, because today is actually the first, if Texas indeed sends their letter to the Big 12, that goes from reports to action.
Yes.
This is a plan, and today the plan gets put into action. I think if you're, you know, the president at Oklahoma and the president of Texas hoped to have kept this thing behind the scenes, but obviously last Wednesday, Houston Chronicle, Brent Swarnham, and the report comes out, and the firestorm is on. But all along, the plan was for on this Monday to send that letter to begin the process. So the process, as Brad Kellner would call it, begins today. That's why I'm wondering aloud
like
what
that.
Do we hear from UT today? If indeed they send their letter, is there a statement released by the president? Is there a press conference of some kind to discuss the hows and whys and what their general feeling is on this? And obviously yesterday they had the meeting with the Big 12 officials, including Bob Bowlesby, the executive committee. But again, at its core, it's business. But I think there's a lot of reasons for the move and the changing landscape of college athletics. Because remember, back to the Supreme Court decision on amateurism, name, image, and likeness, we can now really just call this a business, Buck. It's a business. College athletics always has been.
We've already passed that, the student athlete part. We talked on Friday about the fact that I'm going to put down 10,000 units to get my lost ring back. And I'm getting my ring back, mind talking about putting some money down on it now, because this isn't about amateurism. It's about
business.
It's business. It's money.
It's business. And Texas wants to be in the best. You know, look, if you're competing in high tech as a business, you want to be competing with the best of the best in that industry. And the best of the best currently play in the Southeastern Conference or the Big Ten, and I think SEC for sure, number one. So whether it's a cultural fit, whether it's a political fit, whatever, it's a business fit for the University of Texas and for Oklahoma. And, you know, I applaud Jay Hartzell and Kevin Eltai for being aggressive on this, but I know some will debate it. But as far as timeline, I think they'd like to be playing in that conference by 2022. Can they get there legally with contracts with the LHN, contracts with, you know, the Big 12? You know, can they make that happen? I think that is yet to be seen. But remember, Texas has a game scheduled to start the 2022 season with Alabama.
Right.
That is currently a non-conference game. I think my guess.
Well, we know what they're going to be playing in the Big 12 for another year. The season is 40 days.
Not talking about next season.
Yeah, there's 40 days from now that they start playing.
No, they're going to play a lame duck season for sure this year in 2021.
Do they try a second?
The question becomes, are they playing? Does that Alabama game that's already on the books for next year, does that become a conference game by 2022?
Very interesting.
That is kind of where I think things stand here. But we'll know more. I think we'll know more today. I think we'll know if they indeed send this letter. I do think there has to be some type of media follow-up and clarity to the if they have indeed, and I have no reason to doubt the reports that they've been talking about this with Oklahoma for 6 months to put this into place. At some point, you got to talk about it.
Six months and the Aggies didn't know.
No, they say they didn't.
You're way down here on that totem pole if you didn't know that, if that didn't get out to you.
Right.
And you're in the conference for that many years?
Yeah. Well, look, again, I know we're long on the break here, but I think if you're Texas, you feel as good about your athletic department as you have in a long time, as far as who's in charge of it, the coaches that are in place, But yeah, I mean, are you stepping up in class if you join the Southeastern Conference in every sport? Yes, no doubt.
For sure.
No doubt. And has your success, certainly in football, not been at a high level even in the Big 12? Correct. But obviously you're moving. You got to go.
You don't have a choice. You got to go anyway.
Yeah.
It's there. It's there financially, and that's what you have to do. And it's just, I wish it would take another year. That's all. Two. Give me two to get me better.
We'll see.
Because everybody will say, hey, no, we got to let them hang until we got to see you on Monday and it's not hanging. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And listen to the same old whine. Well, we're not ready. It'll just change. But financially, you don't have a choice. You have to go there.
Because, yes, what does the Big 12, even in its current state, look like 5 years from now when the new TV deals are handed out? I think it's
But you haven't added different. Anybody into it that was going to make a difference anyway.
And it's arguable there's no one to add that would want to even join. Different. That would really make that big of an impact.
No.
That would really make that big of an impact.
No.
All right, we will discuss it with you, the hows and the whys, the timelines. Also, the season tickets have to be thrown onto the conversation as well, because a SEC schedule makes your home schedule and your road games much more robust as far as intrigue, and we'll talk more about that. The Hot or Not before the end of the hour as well with Isaiah Collier. It's B&E on a Monday.
What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Pussycat, I've got flowers.
All right, you have to explain your theme song to me, my friend.
Well, last week I said there's a song out there. If you're going to call me, you know, we need more dogs. We need to go ahead and get into that SEC conference, and we need to be dogs. We don't need to be pussycats. And this is my theme song, and people thought that I was afraid. I'm afraid for Texas going into the SEC. I'm not afraid. I just like to get a little better before I walk over there, and it's going to happen. And I'd rather for it to happen in 2 years than after next year. Because I think you're a solid three in your own conference right now. Does it change in 1 year? And you're a pussycat. I am not. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to roll this year because Louisiana will take a massive beat down to the Texas Longhorns in game one. And so they will be better. They will get better.
Well, and then you'll get the game with Arkansas, which, you know.
That's right.
As this moves forward and Texas makes their move official as of
you'll
today.
Be playing them.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're talking about positives. I mean, you're rekindling the rivalry with A&M and Arkansas on an annual basis. I mean, what's better than that?
Nothing.
The fact that you keep the rivalry with Oklahoma, which is still tremendous, and then you know, rekindle with the Razorbacks and the Aggies, whether the Aggies want it or not. If things move as they are, I mean, there's reports out there that the SEC is targeting other schools and they're maybe thinking even bigger than 16, they're thinking 20 or 24.
But what was toughy was the fact that we were holding hands with OU. That hurt so very badly. But to a lot of people, they embraced the Sooners last week.
Well, you want to embrace that rivalry, and they're the two biggest brands. And, you know, Oklahoma has made sense in the SEC for a long time. We've talked about that. We've played the scenarios of who goes where, because I was always under the impression, based on conversations with previous leadership at Texas, that the SEC was not really an option, that if we were going to move, and you got to remember who the power brokers and the power structure was, and now what it is, who it is today. It's a different group of people. But when it was the previous leadership, it was seen that the SEC was not a cultural fit. It was not the right place for Texas, something like the Pac-12. Or the ACC or the Big Ten may actually be a better fit academically. But here's what I like about this current move for Texas. It takes vision and aggressiveness to move forward, right, in business. I mean, you've got to be...
got that part.
For a long time, I believe Texas has been complacent even to... Well, we're Texas, we're good, we've got our Longhorn network, we'll count our money.
Our brand is just good brand. Enough.
And... You know, and you could argue that maybe that leads to some of the complacency we see on the fields of play at Texas at times. That, you know, if you're committing aggressively and boldly to move to the Southeastern Conference, you're admitting you're ready to step it up, and you're moving with aggressiveness. But at the same time, I think what Jay Hartzell will tell you when it's time to talk about why they're doing this is you have to. If you want to compete on even footing with the best teams in college football in the next 10 years, if you want to compete with the best teams in college football for name, image, and likeness over the next 10 years, if you want to compete financially, you've got to be in that conference.
I believe image and likeness was a huge part of that.
Huge. and the 12-team playoff. I mean, all of these things are happening in real time. So I will give Jay Hartzell and Kevin Eltife credit, Chris Del Conte, for moving this direction, being bold. You know, everybody assumes Texas is a big bully anyhow. Well, be a bully. Go where you're going to be in your best spot. Now, does that, you know, you got to, it's the whole Chris Del Conte with his coaches thing. You have to expect your teams to compete at a championship level, give them everything that they want to do so, and then, you know, hold them accountable if they don't. I mean, that's really your course of action. But at the same time, if you don't act boldly now, 5-10 years from now, you'll be acting, you'll be saying, well, we're screwed now because we weren't bold when we needed to be bold. Now is the time, I believe, and I think we're seeing that from Texas. Now, does it, you know, what does it mean for Baylor? What does it mean for TCU? What does it mean for Texas Tech? I know it's going to be, you know, they're not going to be on even footing, but at the same time, is that Texas's job to take care of them? You know, I know there's a lot of clamoring in Oklahoma about Oklahoma State. They're not happy with their...
That old deal is not really, was an old deal.
But I think that, you know, what Oklahoma is saying is, look, it's not our job to carry you, Oklahoma State. We don't need to. We need to put ourselves in this new environment of college business. We need to put ourselves in the best place for us. And right now that is going to be in the Southeastern Conference. Now, again, I think I would expect moving forward, once these dominoes begin to fall, I would expect Kansas and maybe West Virginia to talk to the Big Ten about possible access to the Big Ten Conference.
Or West Virginia, ACC, or stuff like that, playing Virginia Tech and teams like that.
There's been talk over the weekend of Oklahoma State talking to the Big Ten. I mean, I think you're going to, because you and I have talked a lot, Buck, about
It's going to be dismantled. It's going to be done. It's not.
Well, but you know, we've talked about these 16-team super conferences, right? Or maybe even beyond that. And I think that's where we're headed. And I think this is the first step in that. And Texas is taking control of their own, you know, destiny on where they land. Because they can, and they've got the brand to do so.
That's right.
They want to maintain that rivalry with Oklahoma, which this will allow that
and
to
do. And start it back up with Texas A&M.
That's correct. Whether they want it or not at Texas A&M.
That's right.
Because, you know, let's just say in 2022, this thing can happen. I don't know that, but I know that's what Texas, I think that's what the powers that be at Texas would like, to be competing in the Southeastern Conference by 2022. Is that contractually possible? We'll see. But if you do it, and let's just stick to football, it would likely be four-team pods, right? Four-team divisions, with Texas most likely in a division with Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. You know, I don't know exactly how it would fall out, but that would make a lot of sense. You'd have in the Southeastern Conference, you'd have Southwest, Southeast, Northeast, Northwest, and you'd have four-team conferences. Likely scheduling, you'd play that. One of those four teams would play each other each year, and then you'd add other teams from, you know, in a cycle from the other four divisions throughout.
Yeah, within
the
a matter, you're going to play teams. You're going to play just about everybody, which is great.
Yeah,
you know, as like the cycle NFL. Goes on, yes.
Like the NFL, you have a 4-team division. You play those teams every year. In the NFL, it's twice a year, but you wouldn't do that in college football. But then you'll rotate through the other divisions and add a team. You know, let's just say you added one other team to your football schedule from each of the other divisions on an annual basis. That gives you seven. That's six games to begin with, right? Or maybe it's two. I don't know how the schedule would go, but that's what you would foresee, and that's good for Texas because it creates a better home schedule. It creates, you know, better home and road games. It's bigger TV games.
Oh, there's no doubt about the road for sure. I mean, there's this. The Big 12 is not road happy. When you go visit, there's not great places to go visit. There's not great stadiums. I mean, there's very few.
Oh.
That you go to. The trips to some of these places in the SEC would be different. The atmosphere would be totally different. So your fans are going to love it.
Since the Big 12 transformed 10 years ago, it's always felt like a conference where, you know, Texas is this huge monolith in a group of, it'd be like a, you know, a residential neighborhood street with 10 homes, and Texas has this huge house on the corner, and everyone else is in these, you know, normal suburban homes, and that's the neighborhood you play in. Well, I think for your brand, for the big picture, you want to play in a bigger neighborhood.
Yes.
You want to play in the biggest neighborhood. You want to be in all sports competing against the best, and this is what, to me, this will allow Texas to do. But, yes, is it going to come with some lumps and some speed bumps and some...
No, I think it's good for Texas A&M. We'll get to like this a lot, too. You get to play the rivalry. Your team has now started to be built up. By the way, it's not like your football team is no good. It doesn't mean Texas comes in and starts pounding on you. Their athletic director says, we're ready for them. And I'm thinking, well, what are you ready for it, that craziness that you are because you hate them so much or you don't understand them or you think they're going to take over. Your athletic programs aren't bad. It's not like you're the lowly ones at the bottom of the SEC. I don't know where their scared part comes from. That's the one that gets me. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that Texas is going to come in and take over on every account in the SEC? No, they've got it. They're a bunch of teams that they're going to have to answer to, like Alabama and the Georgias. They're not the only ones at the table.
Sure.
I think Texas A&M feels like, oh, they're going to take over this conference. I'm going to take over the conference.
Well, I know A&M, part of the reason they left, obviously, was to be a standalone team.
Right.
The only team in the SEC from the state of Texas.
Yeah.
But obviously what that has done is opened up the Lone Star State to recruiting to the entire conference.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's impacted Texas. That's impacted the Big 12. And that's leading to this move along with the TV deals, the name, image, and likeness concepts. And it's just, look, I think it's a great move for Texas if they pull it off. Today is the day that the letter is expected to be sent. We'll get some more details on this. We'll take your thoughts on it. What say you? Texas to the SEC. Is it the right move at the right time? Thoughts. We will talk about it with you. Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics as well. When we come back, we'll also reset your headlines. It's a busy Monday, good, bad, and ugly on B&E.
What's hot and what's not.
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
All right, hot and not. Great to be back. Enjoyed my week in Chicago, or about 5 days, 4 days in Chicago. Cubs game, did the second city thing, always funny. And the weather was tremendous, so that's a good thing. We'll get away. Glad to be back, though, because there's a lot to talk about. Big conversations. Historic, even, conversations on this Monday morning. Well, since I've been gone, Buck, we had an NBA champion crowned in the Milwaukee Bucks. The Greek Freak was phenomenal, to say the least. What a 50-point closeout game. So put that dude. Going all Hakeem Olajuwon on people, for crying out loud. Also, Chris Beard had a pretty good week last week, reeling in the transfer Marcus Carr and the hot shot for the class of 2022. Chris Beard on a roll.
Did a great week. Not a good week. That's the best one in the portal for some.
And I think, he's built a hell of a roster. And that's, I think, what you like about Texas in the last 8 months is just the aggressive nature of how they're doing things. There's not a lot leaking out. There's not a lot of stories and, you know, it's just they're taking care of business, it appears to me, whether it be moving on Tom Herman and understanding that regime had kind of stalled out and being aggressive with the change, being aggressive with getting Chris Beard in place and supporting what he needs, aggressive with this obvious next move to the Southeastern Conference. It's a very, but at least the appearance of a very methodical business-like mindset that the University of Texas leadership has right now in getting stuff done and trying to put themselves in a power position in college athletics. Isaiah Collier is our producer. Hello, Zay. How are you? I didn't get to talk to you about your trip to Colorado. How was your trip away?
It was cool. It was cool. Your boy was struggling with the oxygen, but at the end of the day, I had a good time, and it was beautiful out there.
Yeah, well, beautiful is a key. What do you have in hot or not, Mr. Collier?
All right, fellas, let me know how y'all feel about this story, because I don't know how I feel about it. Buck, you said earlier that it is very odd that Texas and Oklahoma are basically on the same team with trying to get to the SEC. Well, Oklahoma Sooner Trae Young, was in the ATX this past weekend, and it looked like he was allowed to have his own workouts at the drum.
Yeah.
Hey.
We're breaking bread with the Sooners. Of course he can come to the drum.
You know, shooting some hoops.
Oh, yeah, shoot little hoops. Go down to Gregory Gym. Get in Gregory. Go play. Come on, man.
I mean, Kevin Durant played in Oklahoma City for a long time. You know, he's a Longhorn playing in the
Zay doesn't like this
country.
Deal, though. He doesn't like this kid from Norman coming into this city shooting in the big gym, right?
Yeah.
You don't like that, do you?
Grinds my gears a little
bit. There you go.
I'm not going to cap.
Nah,
as
there
the
you
kids
go.
Say. I'm not going to cap.
So you think Zay should have, that Chris Beard's shown over there and said, no, get out of here. Yeah. Get out of here sooner.
Yeah, that's what he thinks. That's
yeah,
exactly
he should have been jumped somewhere. Somebody should have took him in a back alley and jumped his ass somehow.
Yeah. Zay didn't think he should be on the grounds of the courts playing here at all. Maybe pick up somewhere for him?
Maybe, but on the other side of 35 or something like that.
There you
go. I mean, come on. The Irwin Center alone, by yourself, just you and your boys. Now, he wasn't in Sooner gear. He was in Atlanta Hawks.
There you go.
NBA gear.
But that's better.
So he
that's at
was,
least better.
Yeah, he was at least being respectful, but I don't know. This Texas OU, we're all friends stuff.
They're not. I mean, come on. They're working partners here in a business deal that they're making.
Oh, no, they're friends. No, no, this is no.
By no means friends.
No, this bunch of huggers, they were hugging last week. Now the Specs text line was getting on me, but they just, us and the Sooners, we're going to put our arms around. No, E, when you were gone, they were hugging. They were putting their arms around each other last week.
Now, I'm not buying that.
Oh no, buy it.
Because these deals are being made way above athletics pay grade here. This is on the fields and courts of play. They still hate each other. OU still sucks.
Oh, not last week they didn't. Are you kidding me? There was no OU sucks on here at all last week. It was we're in this together. We're abandoning the Big 12. We're gone. There was not one Specs text line that said, oh, well, no, there was. That's not true. There was one, and that's the one that always comes up no matter what. Somebody said, OU still sucks. But most of them last week were, let's hold hands till we get to the SEC, and then you're going to hate them. You're going to do what you do better than anything, hate the Sooners. But as of last week, there was a lot of intermingling going on last week, a lot of kisses on the cheeks, a lot of pats on the butt last week. So don't pretend that's the way it was.
I think that's the way you're portraying
it. No, that's not true.
I
no.
don't know.
Oh, no, no.
That's
the way these listeners portrayed it last week.
We were together. We were part of it. We were in Dallas for Big 12 Media Days in Arlington. I don't think Lincoln Riley has any like for Texas at all. And I don't think Sark likes Oklahoma. Come on, man.
Are you kidding me?
I think the president's
our buddies. They're all buddies right now. This is what this was all about. Here it comes. Now they're saying it. Here it comes. Now they're talking it. Yeah, hey, we're in.
Kick
they
that Sooner out of the drum.
They suck.
Yeah.
It wasn't that way last week. And there were times where the Specs text line had OU Texas going to the SEC. It didn't say Texas OU. They had flipped that. We're so close that OU can be named first in the switch to the SEC. That's how it went last week, E. I don't know how it is now. But once they're in, I know it will switch. But as of last week, there's a lot of kissing cousins going on here.
Well,
sisters or whatever they do.
You know, you have to be allies at this point to make this deal work, if it's going to work, and stay together on it.
Slit their throats, come up from behind them, and slit their throats and move on. That's what needed to happen. But not now. It's okay now.
So you're for, well, look, they want an even number of teams, the SEC have to think.
Absolutely.
And they want the two biggest brands. I mean, they want the Sooners and the Longhorns. That makes a lot of sense to me. But, I mean, they like each other.
Who?
I mean, we're going to start chanting SEC now? SEC?
Oh, yes, they are. Of course they are.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Hook'em and Boomer Sooner. I mean, come on.
No, but the chant is going to be SEC. You're going to have to chant that. You can't say you're going to join.
I'll leave that to the Aggies.
Wait, no. You can't say you're going to join a conference again and then not chant their chant, SEC. What are you going to say? No, we refuse at Texas to say SEC, although we're in the conference.
I'm pretty sure Roll Tide just says Roll Tide.
No, they chant SEC a lot when they pick up their championships. Yes.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
All right, we'll be back. 8 o'clock hour. Could be some breaking news. We'll keep our eyes on the breaking news wire for sure. Also, we'll talk a couple of great guests here in the next couple hours. Quan Cosby will jump on from the university. Of course, QC. His thoughts on this power move by the Longhorns. Does he like it? Of course, won a couple of Big 12 championships back in his day like the Buck did. Also, later in the program, Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman with the very latest. As we roll forward, it's B&E with you, Show of the People, live, local, and digital streaming on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.